We ready? You ready, Trish?
Yeah.
The Chicago State University Board of Trustees Facility Committee meeting, May 10, 2010, is hereby called to order.
Trustee Scott?
Here.
Trustee James?
Here.
Trustee Samuels?
Here.
Trustee Hill?
Here.
Trustee Rozier?
Here.
Was there a verification of meeting notice posted?
Yes, it was posted.
Have a motion to approve previous minutes?
So moved.
Second it.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
We'll have the facilities update. The always vibrant Mike Orr.
Good morning, members of the Board of Trustees, Dr. Wasson and Mr. Cage. As you notice from my report submitted, we can look at how facilities has been administered and some of the issues that we have addressed over the last several months. More salient than anything, I think, right now are basically the facilities capital development projects, which are listed here in terms of the aquaponics project, which is a very dynamic project, our emergency situation with our various roofs, and how we've been able to develop and redirect funding to in order to address our emergency issues. And of course, the ongoing issues with the new, I can't say new academic library anymore, but I'll say the academic library as well as the convocation center. We also have elevator projects, and what these projects really represent to us as basically a redirection of funding that was allocated for buildings, but we felt that it was in the best interest of the university to redirect these funds toward capital renewal, deferred maintenance, and operational issues. Of course, we've listed out which are buildings that will now be renovated in terms of the roofing and the abatement that is necessary to go with those. Going into facilities maintenance, of course, we've been doing quite a bit in terms of addressing the maintenance issues that we have at existing facilities, particularly our dorms, our fitness center, and of course the greening products that we've been using. We've sought to implement certain initiatives in terms of dealing with more green products, and these products are more environmentally friendly, and also they are more sustainable for our use. These things are in practice and going on as we speak. And we look at the aquaponics project, and I'll just move right along with this if no one has any questions for that right now. But we have an aquaponics project that's, as I said, a very dynamic project, and we've done quite a bit in terms of preparing the aquaponics area on 9601 Cottage Grove. We have all of the equipment in place now. I think our last impediment to calling this the grand opening is the actual installation of the fish that will be in the aquaponic tanks there. And of course, we put in all the plumbing that we're in. We use the water byproducts off of the fish that will be growing our vegetables there. And this is, again, part of their whole aquaponic initiative on Cottage Grove. We have an issue with permitting right now. And the issue is not so much of a failure for what CSU has done, but we have a contractor who is engaged to secure that permit. And I would expect, and of course, we're going to facilitate as much as possible any assistance that he may need to secure that permit from the Illinois Department of something that the name escapes me right now. But nevertheless, we will assist him in securing that permit so that we can actually move the fish from one of the contributing agencies, the Chicago Agricultural School, over to CSU. As you notice, we're doing several things in terms of the campus clocks. I know people look up and they say, well, hey, what's happening with clocks? Typical of some of the obsolescence in terms of equipment around campus is our clock system, which is something that we are trying to secure bids in order to replace right now. Of course, our main clock generator has failed again, and the contractor that we called in to assess the damages of that system has indicated that it cannot be repaired and that we need to pursue replacing the entire system again. And many...
Again? You replaced it before?
Yes, we have. We've had the main generator motor rewound before, and we had that done, as reported to me, close to 15 years ago. But it is now worn out. It can't even be rewound again.
What's your timeline on that, Mike?
Right now, we're still securing bids for that. We've only got two bids that we've had a response to, and we're looking at perhaps changing the manufacturer. Previously, we used the Simplex system, and we had a combination of Simplex and Colorado Time and Signal devices. We find that we get better service out of the Simplex system, but we get cheaper pricing out of Colorado Time and Signal. So it's a choice of what are we looking for in terms of the long term and sustaining, you know, that initiative, or whether we want to go back and see if we can rehabilitate any part of the existing clocks by Simplex. Because as you know, our clocks are that combination of Colorado Time, which is not quite as good a product as the Simplex system, but we'd have to replace in total if we go to Simplex. We are currently doing an elevator survey because under the CDB we have an elevator initiative that has already began. And I say it's began because we've already started surveying the amount of service it's going to take to replace five elevators campus-wide. That professional elevator is the contractor that won the bid for this work, and they are currently going building by building of the five buildings that we've identified for new elevators. They're going by assessing the extent of equipment replacement that has to take place in that regard. One of the bigger things that I think we want to consider here is we have a CTA project that's coming up, because we had talked about bringing back the CTA to campus. Well, we have been looking at this and discussing with the CTA how we can best modify this current plan that they proposed to us, and also the timeline for doing that, which quite frankly is quite aggressive, because we're talking about doing it in the month of July. And that's essentially tearing out most of the concrete, if not all of the asphalt, in the CTA turnaround, and pulling our curbs in, giving them wider turning radiuses so that we're not conflicting with private vehicular traffic coming into campus and pedestrian traffic that normally will walk down the walkways that the CTA is replacing. These are things that are still in the works. They've submitted their preliminary planning. We've responded to those. Now I think the issue goes back to legal in that term, in terms of what is going to be acceptable in terms of a long-term lease agreement. We have certain other considerations that we would like the CTE to put on the table, and that's basically upgrades of existing equipment and how we might best get the most bang for their buck, because it's an initiative that is being put forth by the CTA.
Where is it going to be?
Pardon me?
It's going to be right out there?
Yes, the original turnaround that we have there. Previously, we had asked for upgrades and better lighting in the area. And also, there's another company that does work with the CTA, JC LeCar, and we had looked in terms of what is it that they can provide to us on this campus in terms of upgrading our ability to advertise seats. I mean, we would be essentially advertising CSU on the size of the relief station that the operators use when they pull into 95th Street. Well,
and that's, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
You know, if how many buses, I mean, have you really thought about the traffic that would be that would come as a result of CTA buses coming into the campus?
Yes, ma'am.
And how many buses would you anticipate?
At this time here, we're anticipating no more than five. Normally, five buses. There are something like six routes that pass 95th Street. The 95 East continues on. It doesn't turn in.
I mean, five different bus routes would,
yes, ma'am,
come into the campus?
Four will come into the campus. The others pass the campus. They'll continue on eastbound on 95th Street.
But there'll be a stop here?
There's a stop here currently. Okay. But now we're bringing the buses into the campus. Currently, they dead end at 94th and Cottage Grove.
Okay.
This was because we had asked that they relocate their services to 94th and Cottage Grove when we turned the, when we, well, under a previous administration, when they determined that they wanted to rehabilitate the area. We're bringing those routes back on campus. So it's, it facilitates easier student access in and off campus through the CTA.
Question for you, though. Okay, right out in front is where, how do you access Chicago State? What's the, how can you come into the whole campus? Is that, is 95th Street the only way you can get on campus?
No, we have two entrances. We have, actually, 541 East 95th Street is our actual address into campus. We call ourselves 9501 King Drive.
Right.
The actual address put forth at OEM is 541 East 95th Street. We have another major entrance at 99th and King Drive.
Okay.
Those are our two major entrances into the campus.
Why is you don't have like a big sign out right here at 95th Street?
I think that sign is in the planning works right now.
Yeah. I mean, because it's really, I mean, here's the deal. You know, we are, in my opinion, it's really not very attractive
right.
at all.
Right.
And if we're going to be negotiating with the CTA to bring, you know, diesel fumes into our into the airspace here, why wouldn't we negotiate for some landscaping that would improve the entrance of this to this building? It's, it is so nice all around. Mm-hmm. But the entrance to this place is not very attractive.
And Trustee Scott, we know that. We had a conversation with the president when the CTA is planning on putting $400,000 into this remodeling of the circle.
Yeah.
When they do the remodeling of the circle, the little grassy area in front, we plan to remodel that area with a different look for Chicago State.
A sign.
We have a statue that's never been put up that we're going to put up. So we want to redo the total front of our campus because we know it doesn't look good.
If at some point you have a plan, could just
we'll share
send me a copy?
Yes. We'll share
so I can see what it looks like, because it's really...
I think the most significant architectural element will be the Richard Hunt sculpture there. And the reason that we were asking for those upgrades in terms of the aesthetics of the landscaping around that sculpture is it's because of its significant size and scope.
I mean, just something that says, a nice sign that says Chicago State.
Well,
we'll be certain to
share with you any preliminary planning that we have there.
I mean, I don't have to look preliminary, talk final, but just,
yes.
You know, just we know that, I mean, this beautiful campus ought to have a sign.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if the CTA project goes forth, we will close that circle July 31st. It will reopen August 16th, just mm-hmm. in time for our next semester school.
Okay.
And Chief, will you talk about the...
That's a really tight timing.
They need 3 weekends and 2 weeks to do the work.
That's what they say.
It's in the summertime. Chief, will you talk about the other plans that the CT has down 95th Street, going to the Dan Ryan?
The other plans?
Well, I think in part we were talking about having the CTA rehabilitate the stop.
Oh.
See, there's another IDOT project that's coming across 95th where they're going to rehabilitate all of the pavement and streetwear coming from State Street, or rather the CTA moving all the way south over to Cottage Grove. I don't think they'll enter the Burnside TIF, which is now, I think, has expired, if I'm not mistaken. But that is to be rehabilitated completely. And what we were asking, we had some correspondence and communications with the Alderman's office to assist us in having just the streets repaired and rehabilitated in front of Chicago State. We had one repair made, but at the time we made that request, we were in what they call cold patch season. Hot patching had not begun yet because that doesn't arrive until April 15th. So our concerns have been addressed in part. They have to be revisited once more because we're in a different time frame for the type of materials to be used.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Then again, of course, as anyone has been driving around, you'll see that we've made quite an improvement on the unplanted areas there. We've had several areas that we've had to move around different materials that were placed in areas that were too visible for the pedestrians or for traffic passing by. So all of the rock and crushed stone that we've had that all rehabilitated, moved to different areas, and we've hydro-seeded all of these areas, looking to get a quicker green up and certainly be a lot more attractive in terms of offering our curbside appeal. Beyond that, the directional signage that we all see there, that's been going well. We are still looking for repairs on the Cordell Reed Student Union, as well as the dormitories. And of course, we have our most significant project coming up, and that's our science laboratory renovations. And these things are moving quite well in terms of our architect that is the architect of record for these projects. I'd like to entertain any questions if we have any.
Yeah, I have a question about the report when it comes to the pharmacy.
Yes.
The pharmacy phase four. It says that that if we don't get something done, it's going to affect our accreditation. So where's it, and you don't, and it's unfunded at this point, right?
No, there is a grant to address the Douglas Hall renovation, the pharmacy having to reside in Douglas Hall. Now, we had a $19.5 million grant there. That grant was increased to a little bit over $20 million. We have attached part of that grant just to address the emergency status of the roofing for that particular building. And that work was scheduled to begin quite shortly. So of the $15 million remaining from the grant, it is very conceivable that we may have gotten that approval. When we checked with our legislative representatives, it was still on the governor's desk. But as far as I know, and I'm waiting to hear any moment a call that says, hey, it was either released or it wasn't, but we can anticipate that it will be released later on. I think Dr. Smith would be more apt to give you the particulars of that particular grant.
But we had a conversation last week Vice President Meeks's office with Dr. Smith, and currently I think they're scheduled to make a refund payment or something to the university to the tune of about $900,000. They need about $750,000 to finish out the lab so that they meet their accreditation, and I'm pretty sure what Vice President Meeks says that they're going to come into another repayment schedule so that money can be used to make sure that they meet their accreditation. So what I don't think it's going to be a problem for us this year.
Dr. Smith is.
Hi, Dr. Miriam Mobley Smith, interim dean at the College of Pharmacy. Good to see everybody today. The issue at question are the faculty research laboratories that the accreditors are expecting to have progress on, if not completion, very soon. The estimated cost at this point is somewhere between $750,000 and $800,000. And we've been working very closely with Glenn Meeks, with the provost, with the president, to try and address how we could get that done in light of the fact that the $9.3 or so million dollars that's embedded in that $19 million that's supposed to come for the whole renovation of Douglas Hall has been held up. It certainly has been approved. It's just at this point unfunded. So we've been able to solve to a great extent the research lab component, but are anxiously looking forward to the rest of the money so that when we do submit our next update report, which will be February of next year, with a site visit to occur April 12th and 13th of 2011, that indeed we won't be working to come up with additional why we haven't moved forward, but have a solid plan in place so that they can smile, we can smile, and we can move forward within a year to full accreditation.
So you feel pretty comfortable that that'll be done by February?
The research labs will be at a point where they will be satisfied, yes. But if we continue to not be able to receive that $9 million to move forward with the rest of the plan, which is the student center, a couple other lecture halls, some additional classroom space, and everything else to finish out the program, then it will be a challenge, the discussion. Right.
And Trustee Rozier, on Friday, I got information from the governor's office. They have released some funding, so I just have to get that list of funding in terms of what was released by the governor's office last week.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, because literally, as soon as we get an inkling that that bulk of that money is coming,
mm-hmm.
the architects, I mean, the bid, everything.
Okay.
Going forward.
Dean, allow me to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, if we do, because the question is, you know, I hear a lot of ifs,
mm-hmm.
if we get this, if, and then a lot of that is related to what's going to take place out of Springfield. Being very optimistic,
okay.
I pray that all of the ifs come
mm-hmm.
come through.
Right.
If we do not get the $19 million, what is the effect of our accreditation, on our accreditation?
Okay. What we have to be able to prove as a university is that we're able to deliver this pharmacy program keeping with all of the standards and guidelines for the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education. That includes the academic piece, that includes the service piece, that includes the research piece, and so on. If any of that is lacking, we will not be granted full accreditation when our first class graduates. Now, what does that mean? We would continue in a candidate state. However, that does very little for us being able to attract additional students in the future, faculty, financial support, and so on. Am I concerned about that? Absolutely. I'd be remiss to stand here and say that I wasn't. And so from the fact that I've taken personally students down to Springfield, I mean, Irma knows we go down there, that we're very visible, conversations, sitting in, you know, legislators' offices and so on, working very closely with university officials and other individuals, that we get this job done in whatever way we can.
And we now have our second year class, they are now finishing.
Yes.
So they now have...
We will have three cohorts of students in as of August of this year.
But the second year class has how many years before they graduate?
Two.
So they have 2 years before they graduate. So what we're really saying,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to put this in context,
let's put it in
we're saying that we only have 2 years
mm-hmm.
to get the dollars in place to execute and do the build out in order for us to be able to receive the kind of accreditation going forward for those students when they graduate.
That is correct. They will graduate in May of 2012.
Okay.
We will be submitting our revised application for consideration of full accreditation in February or March of 2012. The board meets in June of 2012 to make that decision.
Therefore, that the $19 million that we're talking about, we need that like now. Because it takes a significant amount of time to do the appropriate planning. And trustees, thank you for your patience, but I did not want you in any way to think that this is something where the check was in the mail, or I didn't want you to think that this is something where there is hope. You know, I'm very concerned that if the legislators do not give us the dollars out of this session, or out of the veto session that's coming November, we are in a crisis situation with regards to our pharmacy department. And I just want to put that
okay.
Let's
put Mr.
Walter
to stay on top of that.
Yeah, I'm equally concerned. I guess the last question before you sit,
sure.
Maybe if Glenn was here, I mean, is there a backup sort of worst case scenario alternative plan if that doesn't happen?
Not for $19 million. We are really, I mean, you know, all of our efforts have got to be with our legislators. Mm-hmm. We have got to call, make our networking contacts and phone calls to make sure that the governor's office, mm-hmm. the speaker's office, and the president of the Senate's office is in support of this. This is one where all hands are on deck, because there is no plan B on this one here, to my knowledge.
Well, keep in mind that we're talking about the 19, you know, 0.5 million, which is very critical for the whole Douglas Hall program. The next phase, or the very last phase of the pharmacy program, requires about 9.3 to 9.5 of that 19. Of course, we don't want to look at it as let's segment that money out and that's the only critical money. All of the money is critical, but just understand that embedded within that is the completion of the pharmacy program, which is to the tune of about 9.3.
Depending on how dire it gets, you may have to compartmentalize that $19 million down to $9 and get it done by February. Is that correct? I mean, I understand that the entire amount is critical, but what I'm saying is you need a portion of that.
Right.
That is correct. Our project manager, Monique Horton.
One of the good things about that is that you've already attached $4 million of that money, and we have already been in dialogue with CDB, seeing how that money is to be used. When we declare an emergency, we try and put as much of the emergency in perspective for CDB, because they may say, well, you don't really need doors. Well, in actual fact, there are roofs over the doors, because we use a storefront system that has to have a roof. So they've released $4 million, but they're questioning the expanded scope that we wish to have considered in the dollars that they're going to release right now. So of $20 million, roughly, you've gotten four. Whenever you get a part of a grant, they're more apt to give you the rest of the money than it is if they didn't give you any of the money. So that's one of the good things that we have going in our favor.
I just want to briefly comment, because I've been very intimately involved with the project. Right now, we have a consultant, which is the architect, who has already provided drawings, so we would not necessarily have to spend time with that. We do, to sum it up in a nutshell, the number is at the 9.3. Taking away the part that they've already negotiated with Meeks and the provost, which would be the 750, which would appease the board for the research lab portion. So now you're talking about roughly about maybe 8.5 million that you would need to seek from the legislators. So I think that's the critical number that you want to keep in mind for the rest of the build out. The labs would then be appeasing for the visit that is occurring in 2011. However, there would need to be a further explanation pending the 8.5. I think it is serious at this point to consider this becoming possibly one of the emergencies, similar to how we did the roof, based on not just a health issue, but based on then the academics. So
that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Other questions?
No, I understood. Okay. So it seems to me it's more of a financial issue than a time issue. We think we have the amount of time necessary. It's more or less getting the additional 8+ million to finish.
Yeah, keeping both of those, though,
right
in the forefront. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then just going back, one other thing, Mike, that you commented on. I'm curious on timing as well on the two issues, the emergency roof projects and Douglas Hall. What's the sort of optimistic time frame you think it might be done?
For the roof, we've already contacted the architect that was going to do the roof. We've submitted most of the documentation that it takes for them to put that roof out to bid. Under the emergency procedures, CDB actually is the driving force behind it. They're the administrators. They notify that it's a project out to bid, and they take the bids for that work. Then they contact us and says, hey, this is the successful low responsible bidder, and he is available to start this work within a month's time.
And I guess my last question is, I mean, how much of that you think we can get done by the time the students come back for the fall semester?
I think we can have all of these roofs done by the time the students return for the fall.
Got it. And then on that same note, how about the elevators?
The elevator project, because of the way the elevators have been scoped out, we had originally looked at CDB saying that it was a 16-week duration. When we got the actual elevator contractor on board and he made his assessment, he came back and said there would roughly be 19 weeks. So what we're trying to do there is basically direct the particular facilities like the Cook Administration Building to be put on a priority list, and then we'll move back.
Currently non-functional.
Yes, that's correct, sir. And then we will move back to education and then work our way back through. We're asking for all of the submittals, all of the preliminary work that the contractor is responsible for, to be able to present that to CDB and give us the opportunity to review that and assess what is in our best interest.
Got it. Got it. And of the five, the one in Cook is the only one that's non-operational, is that right?
Well, we did run into another incident with Harold Washington Hall, but right now, Cook Building Elevator is the only one that we have out of service.
Great. Any other questions for Mike?
Yes, I comment really.
Yes, ma'am.
Suggestion and maybe finding out what's already been done. But the report of the gas, the natural gas contract got me thinking about the need and the reality that many communities, municipalities, and institutions are doing a sustainability plan on their resources and facilities. And I'm not sure if the university has considered such a thing, but what I would, rather than go at length, I would just suggest that examining how all of the departments and aspects of the university are conserving properly. You have already done great work on the green cleaners. I think energy conservation, and indeed, perhaps considering the installation, the construction and installation of alternative energy sources on campus. I think we have an ideal visible campus with wind turbines and solar powered generators that I think would could really put CSU on the cutting edge of being a sustainable facility. And I think it's what's happening in the world today in this country, and I think CSU is the right place to do it. Not far from here in Pullman, the Exelon is installing a sustainable energy source, and I know that there should be federal monies available for green technology and green jobs, and that's what we ought to be about, all of us now in this day and age. So just like to put that on the table. I think I know we're right-sizing in the university. I'd like to think we would right-size our environmental footprint, and it would include creating a strategic plan for going at this. This is not as immediate or dire as the School of Pharmacy. I know that's something we need to address with all forces, all hands on deck. But this is something I'd like to think we could be thinking about and trying to implement. And for what it's worth, I just wanted to put that on the table and have maybe staff or at least to think about how we might proceed.
We are currently looking at some solar panels, and that is something that we are trying to identify which buildings we will put the solar panels on. And I think there's a process taking place that is identifying that now.
Do we have a green committee? Is there a green committee?
Is there? I didn't hear the answer. Is there? I'm sorry.
There is a committee that goes through the Faculty Senate, and they are looking at issues, and we are actually at the table with them. Some of the issues that we've already addressed is the sustainability in working through the construction projects. So right now, the roofs that we're doing under the emergency projects will be green roofs. They will have certain coatings and protectants so that we will not have to spend money where the energy is now leaving the building. It is also considered to do a green roof, which would be vegetated depending on the costs that come in for the project. Some other ways, we are actually hiring an environmental consultant now who will also look at things like waste reduction and how we can dispose properly of chemicals. The second thing that we're doing is, of course, with the new contract that was now put forward under the board, we need to also monitor our energy use. So one of the things that we're doing with the another consultant is that we're looking to see how we can now meter our energy and put in and install meters on the buildings on campus. So then that would give us a better idea when we do the reporting. We can then find out how we can further reduce the energy usage. So those are just some of the things, as well as the tree planting initiatives that were started, that we're doing on campus. We do need to do more work. There are things that we can do to look at alternative sources of energy. And I think as we work with some of the recently hired consultant, we can begin to see at the next board report some other ideas.
Okay, great, thank you.
One of the things you also need to understand is that right now we're doing less than 50% of the emissions into the atmosphere. That's the last audit that we did there. As my colleague just mentioned, we are also looking at an upgrade and a revision to most of our, if not all of our, various monitoring devices that lets us know how energy efficient we are. We're contracting with Siemens Worldwide Company in terms of upgrading all of our reporting devices, building by building, campus-wide. This is quite a significant project, and it'll be going on for about a year's time. This is after we upgrade all of the devices that we need to report back to their current building automation system. So it's a quite elaborate project and long-term.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned to me earlier about retrofitting the buildings in terms of storm windows or multi-heat.
Yeah, well, that's, again, one of the...
In the capital project.
It's in the capital projects for 2011, and therefore we have asked that we be given the funding to strengthen all of our building envelopes because they're in such disrepair and aged. The obsolescence is what is costing us so much in terms of energy.
Right.
But as you mentioned earlier, that we were talking about the acquisition of our new energy contract, that goes part and parcel with that, because if we can't strengthen the skins of these buildings, then we're just blowing money out there.
Exactly. We don't have money to pull.
And we don't have it, and you're correct.
Right. Thank you.
I'd just like to address that briefly on the IT side. When I started last November, all of the equipment that we buy, all the PC equipment, must be Energy Star approved in order to be accepted. Also, in the contract that we just signed with HP, we're bringing in a virtual farm. So a number of servers are going from physical servers to virtual servers. And in the refresh of our smart classrooms, we will be implementing thin client technology, which will replace individual computers and lower the power consumption substantially, or be using virtual servers in replace of physical servers. So this is a project that IT has taken on from the beginning of my term, because we are one of the largest consumers of energy for power and cooling, and it is on our radar screen, and I wanted you to be aware that we have it on our radar screen and that we're dealing with it every day.
Right, well, that's excellent, and I'd just like to think that every administrator and department is following that kind of as a policy. You know, when you are examining a new installation, a new technology, that you ask yourself certain questions. One of them would be about the energy, the toxics, the impact on people and life on the planet. So thank you. That's very good to hear.
Thank you. Last thing, Mike, whenever, I know you don't have, you can't control it per se, but you have some influence with CDB on who does the work. To the extent you have influence, just make sure it's a diverse group of people they bring in.
Yes, sir.
I think you already know that, but
yes,
we want them to reflect what the school looks like. This is great work. I mean, I know you have fires to put out every day, and you're dealing with some pretty obsolete equipment, but I think you've done a great job. You as well, Chief, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Cage, housing study update?
I'm going to be brief. After the RFP process, the contract to perform the housing study was awarded to Cyan Group. Cyan Group is a Chicago-based company with a national clientele. They have completed the first phase of their survey. They were on campus last week and the week before, interviewing various constituencies on campus. They are now in the process of actually preparing a survey that is going to be administered to the students. And it's going to be administered in electronic format, and then they're going to do focus group studies, and they will position themselves at various locations around campus just to capture groups of students to administer the survey and assess the need and the feasibility of expanding our residence hall offerings.
And Patrick, could you just tell me some of the other organizations that Science worked with? I think you said it's a pretty impressive group of things they work with.
Yeah, they did the expansion project at Roosevelt University. They're involved with the Paul Residence Hall expansion project. They're just completed a project at the one of the off-campus satellite university with the University of Michigan. They did the Northern Illinois University project. They're involved in the University of Illinois at Chicago project.
Great. And they're going to try to do that study, based on this semester's students, correct?
Yeah, but they've indicated that they might have to extend into June, and they might end up surveying some of our summer school students as well.
Great.
They need 450 to capture a representative sample.
That's great. Any questions for Patrick? That's exciting.
Thank you.
Public comments. Professor Beverly?
Earlier. Okay. For the record, Philip Beverly, HPPS. My thanks for the notice on the elevator survey, because I can't tell if elevators work in our building or not over in science. I'm glad we're getting those done, because I have a colleague who broke her ankle and is on crutches, and for a while she couldn't get up to her office, but a sort of step at a time. It was sort of painful to watch. I would ask the Facilities Committee to take under consideration naming of this building. It has been in use and constructed for some time, and I know that the Senate several years ago, before this building was even completed, suggested naming it after the former Poet Laureate Gwendolyn Brooks. The former boards have not taken any action on the naming of the building, and it is a board responsibility. I understand if there's some naming rights and money associated with that, that we want to get the best deal that we can for somebody to put their name on one of our buildings. It just sort of is weird saying the academic library. Mm-hmm. That's just sort of weird to us. I did have a question about clock management. I teach in some classrooms that actually don't even have clocks. So it's sort of an interesting thing that we've got a fairly complex system. And I was just wondering if we just had outlets in rooms and just bought like $10 clocks at Target and plugged them in and asked the cleaning staff to change them twice a year, if that wouldn't be a little bit more cost effective than going out with some campus-wide system. Sometimes low-tech solutions to high-tech problems actually do work. That's it.
Any, I don't know if you want to address that, Mike, how's that fit into the plans? That makes sense. Is that a little too low tech, as I think you mentioned?
Well, sir, because we don't have outlets to pick up most of these clocks here, and since we have been operating for some 30 plus years on a campus-wide clock system, to switch over now, I think, might be a little cost prohibitive, because we're working at the most economical and efficient way of addressing the existing clocks that we have here. At one point, we had a program where we were sending clocks out in batches of 10, and then when we discovered that that's just not our issue, because all the clocks are controlled by a clock generator that resides in the Williams building. So once we rehabilitate that generator or have it replaced, we should be back on target in terms of updates for clock management campus-wide.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your comments, Professor Beverly. I think naming of the library is actually a great suggestion. We'll work on that. We'll talk to the foundation to see if they have any thoughts as well, because obviously they have donors on that side.
Should we attach the residence hall as well?
Any other public comments?
There's no name on the residence hall?
No, there's no. Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that, Trustee?
I was just saying, should we attach the residence hall as well? So there's
he's saying there's no name.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no, unnamed.
Got it, yeah. We have that discussion as well. Any other public comments? Great, thanks.
Move that we adjourn.
Second.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Samuels?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Lozier?
Yes.
Just have to work on our harmony.
Yeah.